Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. And now, Jillian Michaels.
Wow, Manis, you look good today.
You know what? You know, just don't even go there. You know what? You know what? I have to tell you something. That have you ever had an evaluation? You're the boss.
Well, actually, no. Believe me. Look, I'm in TV. Yeah, no, partners tell me all the time.
Yeah. An evaluation?
Well, they tell you what they don't like about you. That's part of being a public figure. Everyone tells you what they don't like about you.
Yeah, that's true. You have the evaluation of the public.
Yeah, the Q score. Everyone tells you what
they
don't
like. Oh, my God, the Q score.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. We polled 100 people, and they represent 340 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had my first evaluation at work.
Oh.
At work at the radio station.
Manis.
Yeah. And it was going fine. And uh-oh. Then for some reason, the boss lady, she said something that struck me somewhere, and I started to cry.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, oh.
I can you blow your talk, right?
Yeah.
I'll wait for my mic.
I just said, oh, shit. I'm crying.
What'd she say, news?
It wasn't so much what she
Did
said.
Did she comment on your hair?
No, it was a...
How about your clothes?
It was a situation about... I can't remember how it came up, but I had done something and another employee thought that was being really inappropriate. And I was just I was so shocked by that.
What did you do, News?
Well, it was kind of
you
a thing...
You them inappropriately?
No, I didn't do
Call
that.
Call them a name?
No, it
Steal
was...
Steal shit from their desk drawer.
No, it was
News.
When Trudeau, you know how you
did
like...
You take a shit in their briefcase?
Yeah, that was the first inappropriate thing I did. Hmm. No.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, it just... Someone said there was something I was going to do would be looked upon as being racist.
Oh, what were you going to do?
Well, you remember when...
That's you, the racist. I've often said that about you.
No, and I was
Especially
so...
Especially the way that you look at my black child.
No, but I...
In the Latin one.
I was,
you know the way you hate gays.
That's right.
And
there
Jews
have the thing about
my mother,
gays.
The Jew, you hate her.
And
my father, the Arab, you hate him.
Oh my God!
And you've often attacked us all.
We remember when when Trudeau, our prime minister, yeah, yeah. and Obama were meeting for the first time, they had the big state dinner, right? It was a big thing. It was a big thing for both countries.
Okay.
And so we were trying to think of a fun way to talk about it that would be kind of cute. We came up with things they would talk about, blah, blah, blah. And we said, you know, we need a bromance song.
I like it.
Right? So we thought, let's find a bromance song. So we were Googling like different songs that we're saying. And we came across Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson singing Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, come on. That's hilarious.
And I thought, oh, that's... I said, that's perfect.
That's funny, though.
Anyway, a person that sat across from us started writing the boss to say how inappropriate it was.
Why is it inappropriate, though? Because part of that whole song is about, like, not being racist.
But I think what her point was, and I kind of go... But it what her point was... The meeting of these two people is much bigger than race.
Dude, it's a comedy show.
I know, and I, but you know what it did to me, and of course we didn't do it because we're just like, of course we're going to honor somebody. We're going to honor someone. If someone is upset that we're going to do it, I'm going to honor them. I'm not going to say whatever. I'm going to do it anyway. So we didn't do it, but it came from. I think the reason why it hurt me.
And Trudeau
so much.
Is like as white as it gets. I mean, no offense.
Absolutely,
which is why it's kind of funny.
But
I mean,
it was a clip. But I think it's because it made me feel like, oh my God! And I started questioning my morals.
Why would you though? It's clearly that person's stuff, dude.
I don't know. Maybe. And I think so. Then I started digging. I started digging deeper. Okay, what was it? And I think it's because someone thought I was a bad girl. You know what I mean? Like, there's the bad girl thing.
Oh, yeah. So, and you were misunderstood.
I think so.
That's zero fun. I hate being misunderstood.
So in this evaluation, somehow this kind of came out, and I cried. And I was just like,
oh, my God.
And it's the word, you know, and for women. Like, and so I did a little research. I got on Forbes. And you know,
oh, sweet.
No, but there's a thing. No, but there's a thing about women. And they say this gal from the University of California she's been studying the repercussions of crying in the workplace.
Oh, boy.
And according to her research, women are much more likely to cry in the workplace. Okay.
Men are much more likely to come in with a gun and kill everyone. So.
Well, but they're saying in general, because it's due to their socialization.
Okay.
Because most boys are firmly taught not to cry. Unfortunately for women, tears at work are almost perceived with disdain, and the consequences can be harsh,
that's
right?
That's so true.
So women aren't socialized like men, and they carry this extra burden of emotional labor. That's what the research says.
It's interesting.
And they say that crying in private performance evaluations, which I was in, is also considered unprofessional and often manipulative.
Manus.
I know. And I was just like, wow. The last thing
they would say it's unprofessional. I can also see, dude, I don't know when you're going to air that segment, but I just told you something happened with my work that I literally was sobbing at the thought of going through it again. And what I think happens is that these things, and I said to my shrink, I was like, dude, I am crying. I'm like, you know me, I'm not a big crier. And I was like, why am I crying about this? And I was like, what's the thing?
What's the
thing? What's the thing that this is tapping into that I'm crying? And it's like, sure, is it unprofessional to cry at work? Honestly, yeah. Do we all do it?
Yeah.
Manipulative? No.
So you don't think it's manipulative?
No, like, dude, I know you. I know that it was so historical for you. And it like, you know, you've really pulled yourself away from like, you know, for such a long time, you're like, I can't deal with other people's stuff. You're too sensitive. And you're like, I'm going to retreat to Canada and take care of my dad. I'm going to hide out from the world. I'm not going to date, and I'm not going to work, and I'm going to hide. And then you're like, okay, I'm back in the world. And you're now experiencing other people's stuff. And it's all the reason you withdrew in the first place. So, and the reason it's so upsetting is because, you know, you do take it personal. And Janice, honestly, in some cases, so do I. Because I was like, why do I care that this guy is telling me, you know, this is bad about me or this is bad about my show? And it had something to do with, you know, my dad ruining things for me that were always great, right? It was all back to that hole. It was like someone coming in and trying to ruin everything that I built. And that's why I was like, oh my God, every time I build. But it doesn't matter. For me, it was historical and I cried, other than being like, look, this guy has his own issues. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the show. And I have to deal with this in a level-headed way to try to make the outcome go my way. But I wasn't being manipulated. I was on the phone with Giancarlo, and I was just like, I'm like, gee, I can't do this again. So you're going to have to step in because I am unable to do this again, right? And it was work-related. There was right. No office for me to go into and cry, you know? And so,
but what if you did that? What if you did
but
that?
But I would have. If it was in an office and on the phone, when we all got on the phone together, I didn't cry, but I had it. And I let it be known that I had had it. And it was the first time in the entire process of putting this show together, which has been 2 years, mind you, that I lost it. And not crying, but pissed. Which pissed is a cover for crying.
Right. Right. So you're saying yours is a story. So
yeah, and so is yours. You're not being manipulative. Is it unprofessional? Yes. You know, and my network executive is actually a really cool guy, and he goes, because before we got on the phone with the producers, I was like, I'm gonna punch this guy in the face, and he goes, Jill, remember what I always tell you. Disciplining others, you first have to discipline yourself. And I, you know, we laughed because we joke about it with parenting, but he's like, you know, don't punch him in the face, discipline yourself, pull yourself together. And I still was like, dude, I just had been stewing and stewing and stewing for months. And when we got on the phone, it doesn't matter. My point is it was historical. And this is historical for you, which is why it brought up all this stuff for you. Is it professional? No, Janice, it's not ideal. Is it human? Yes. Do we all do it? Yes. Knowing you, is it sure? I have an employee that does the crying thing to be manipulative, and it drives Giancarlo insane. And she's really good at her job, and I'm like, deal with it. And it makes him insane. And there's always another family tragedy that's manipulative. Oh, this, that's manipulative. And you know what? She does it. I don't think she's fully aware that she does it. And she's good at her job, and this is what we put up with. And I'm like, Giancarlo, I know it's annoying to you. I know it's unprofessional, but she's good at her job. And if we can give her guidance, you know, it'll be okay. And I'm more tolerant of it because I'm a woman.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay.
So, and it annoys him.
Do you think your employee... See, I felt incredible
shame. I can tell
the
difference, though, between manipulation and what you felt.
Well, I think... So I felt shame after. I thought, oh, Jen, you idiot. You know, way to go. Way to go. You've been at this gig, what, 6 weeks? Way to go. But the deeper issue, I think the deeper issue below it all is I started questioning, was it right? Like, where did you draw the line? Like, there's politically
why
correct.
Why is it racist? That song is about not being racist.
I guess that's it. And that's why I got so confused. I understand that.
That's what that song's about. It's about people living together, Ebony and Ivory. And the thing is, like, it is about, like, it's the first time that anyone's ever, like, A, it's our first black president, right? B, it's the first time we've ever thrown a big thing for a Canadian prime minister. Right. And it's like, it's funny. It's like, it's they're having a bromance. And it is like saying, I don't get it. It's like, I don't see that, Janice. But this is somebody who's... It's their sensitivity, dude. It's their sensitivity. My mom and I once had a huge fight, right? A huge fight. We were in Aspen.
Okay.
And we were all... Heidi was pregnant, and we couldn't go skiing. Or I could go skiing. She couldn't go skiing.
Right.
So we decided we were going to take a silver cat... Or a snow cat, or whatever it's called, some snow tractor.
Yeah.
A snow cat up to Silver Bells, this mountain.
Okay.
We need to make a long story short. We're stuck in this tiny tractor. Okay. It's sweltering. The guy who's pulling the tractor is up in front of us. We can't communicate with him. It's me and my little posse, in a group of Punjabi Indians. They're from Punjab. Okay. So we're all stuck in this tractor, and I love Indian food. Love India. It changed my life. But the food gives off it can seep through your skin. It can
Absolutely.
Give off a bit of a like a curry. It can make it can
you,
sometimes
you sweat you smells.
Smell it a little bit.
Yes.
So we're all stuck in this tractor, right? You can't even see anything. We're going 2 miles an hour. The windows are all fogged up. We're sweating. We're miserable. It goes on for 2 hours to get there. Well, we get back down, and I am recounting the story, of course, you know me, the way I embellish and I go through the whole thing with to the rest of my friends who had gone skiing. And I was like, oh, my God, we're in hell. You can't see anything. It's 100 degrees. The whole The whole entire cabin smells like farts from you know, the Punjab crew. And my mom unraveled on me. That was so racist. How could you be so racist? And I was like, why is it racist? And she's like, the Punjab. I'm like, Mom, they're from Punjab. I asked her, where are you from? She said Punjab. She's like, but to say Janice, she was furious at me. I didn't raise you this way. And to this day, I still don't know what she was talking about. I don't understand. Like, I don't know. If you were from England and I was saying you were farting up cabbage soup, like, would it be racist? I don't. They were farting. The group was farting. Okay? They were farting. I don't know what. It was really bad, and we were trapped in a box. So it's like being in a car. We had no windows, and they were farting, and they were farting. I mean,
My
mom is hypersensitive to that kind of stuff, and honestly, so am I. Like, if you've ever heard me talk about racism, like, I kind of have zero tolerance for it. And that's why I was so surprised, because being a person whose grandmother's Jewish, whose father's Arab, who's gay,
yeah,
you know, I've always identified with, and being a loser in school, I've never identified with, you know, the Barbie doll, perfect white. I've right. never identified with it, because I've always been, if you think about it, I've always been the one, like, I got one side of my family who's Jewish, I got another side of my family who's Arab. My dad's full-blown Arab. My dad's Syrian. Hello. So, Syrian and Lebanese. And theoretically, maybe from Greece. But, you know, I'm half Arab.
Mm-hmm.
So, think about that right now. On top of all of me being gay.
Yeah.
So, that's why I don't... And for my mom to have said that to me, it was one of the biggest fights we've ever had. In my adult life, I was like, that's what she saw. That's how she felt that I was being... And I don't know. I don't know, Janice. And it doesn't matter. It was about her
yes,
my mom's sensitivities. And because I mean, what the? I don't even know where that came from. I don't know, dude. But the same thing with the employee. Who cares? But it's like it is hurtful when people think that you're not who you say you are. Right? It's and being racist, like, I can't think of anything that's honestly more despicable. I can't. And so that's like me saying to you, I don't know, dude. There's a word I never say. Not ever. And you know me, I swear like a sailor, I will never ever say the N-word. Not ever. Think about that. So calling someone a racist, I don't think there's a worse name you could call someone. Personally, for me, that'd be the worst thing you could call me.
And so maybe when she said that it was bigger, that it sounded, there's racism involved. I think that's why it's
a sick accusation.
Why it stabs so deep.
It is the, like, what else could someone say to you that would hurt you that bad?
I guess,
you're a crappy mother, but I've heard that before, actually. A million times. You're a shitty mom. You're shitty to Heidi. You're abusive. I've heard it all. I'm abusive to Heidi. I'm prejudiced against pregnant women. I've heard it all. And I've always been like, yeah, whatever. But if someone actually, when my mom.
That affected
you. Oof.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing. I mean, other than a murderer, what's child abuser? That's a horrible thing to say to somebody, dude.
Yeah.
Especially to someone like you who is gay. And has always been the underdog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you come, you're right. When you come from a minority of,
yes,
of class.
Yes, a minority. Yeah. You get it. That's the thing.
But I don't know. I guess what I'm finding in being out back in kind of the full workforce with people all the time is there's so, you know, there's a list of things we shouldn't say. It's like,
yeah.
How do you call a Native American, a First Nations? When you're dealing with the... the indigenous community, you know, it's just like you're tap dancing all the time.
You are.
It's like
you are.
It's like, God, what do you want me to call? What can I say then that I'm not going to get in trouble? There's nothing. We're not supposed to say black anymore.
We're not.
We have a girl at our.
When are
our
we not supposed to say black?
Apparently, where I am, we're not supposed to say black. So we're supposed to say African American.
But they're not Haitian.
But that's what I mean. And there's a girl at work. She's Jamaican. She's a Jamaican Canadian. She goes, "Don't call me African American. She's not Jamaican Canadian." It's just like, oh my God, I don't.
Oh no.
Lou's Haitian.
I never say African American. I mean, sometimes, but I usually say black.
Black.
Because then you're being disrespectful to the whole Caribbean community.
Exactly.
This is funny for me. I'm sorry.
Because
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here's what's interesting. Donald Trump has gotten so much traction off of being like, enough with the politically correct.
Yeah.
Because to a certain degree, it is bull. It's bull. It's ridiculous. But, of course, he's like, kill you. Label Muslims and friggin' Mexicans are rapists. I mean, you know, the man's a lunatic, but
that's what perked people's ears. That's what made people listen, because first thing.
There are things he says where he's like, enough with the politically correct bullshit. I'm like, God, he's right. Enough. You know, then he talks more.
Right,
and you're like, Jesus, he's a monster. But I mean, it's Janice. You just can't, dude. This is where you gotta be like, look, this is who I am. You know, and the people who love me get me. And the people who get the humor get the humor.
I suppose. I mean, come on. But if there was anything deeper, you know, you never want to offend an audience.
But that song.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
He's not saying that black people are anything less than white people, or white people are anything more than black people. Yeah. Like, I remember when the Sony emails came out. That was outrageous. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
That was different. And that was emails going back and forth like, ugh, I have to go to this dinner with the president tonight. What should I talk to him about? The butler? No, right. The help. Ha, ha, ha. That was about slavery. That was about reducing the leader of the free world to like 1960s slavery and that being all. That is disgusting. That's racism, dude. That is racism right there.
Yeah, it's
and it's behind closed doors.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, come on. But honey, I think the bigger picture is what you said, is that you were so upset. So this isn't about me sitting here telling you, Janice, after all these years, I think you're fine. I don't think you're racist. No. But but with that said, I think the bigger picture is that, you know, it is historical for you, and looking at why it's historical for you, so that the next time it happens at work, you don't have to. And that's what I said to my shrink. I'm like, why am I so angry? And it had been stewing for a while, right? And it was historical. It was just about, like, I finally got this thing where I wanted it, and this guy just comes in, and it's like a wrecking ball. And he wrecked every episode, and we had to get it back on track. Every effing episode. Look at Nicole's laughing. Every single one. We would have a cut, and I was like, all right, you know, rough cut. Then I'd get an episode back, and I was like, what the happened to my episode? Then we'd have to fix the whole episode all over again.
Oh my God.
And it reminds me of my dad. My dad's a wrecking ball. Yeah. A wrecking ball, which is why I just don't. I'm like, no, I can't. No.
God, we're you know what? We're so wounded by things.
Yes.
And everybody
Absolutely.
Is wounded by things.
Yes.
And it's just, you know what? And it comes up and it bites you in the ass
right.
at a time when you least suspect it. And you know what?
That's why we got to work through that stuff, though, so it doesn't. Yeah. So you don't end up crying at work, and I don't end up unraveling on a call with the network that already, oh, she's difficult, she's impossible. But luckily, I know this executive for a while now, and he's I'm fortunate enough, he could see that I had come to the end of my rope, because I've talked to him a couple times. And he could see that I had hit a wall with it. So anyway, the point is, neither one of us should do that, though. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And neither one of us, we should, because it just makes us look bad.
Yeah.
And why give that to somebody else?
Absolutely.
Which is what my shrink always tells me when I do shit like that.
Yeah.
So actually, Janice, I do think you're unprofessional.
and
probably manipulative. And you know what else?
What?
I'm racist.
Oh, no.
Okay, guys, you're always asking me what kind of athletic apparel I am wearing. Well, I'm going to tell you where I get it, because the brands run the gamut. I get it online at a place called Carbon 38. They are the bomb, the absolute best for fashionable, high-performance women's activewear. Carbon 38 partners with fitness professionals to wear, test, and model all their apparel because their mission is to empower women to live their healthiest lives so you look and feel amazing. So what are you waiting for? Go to carbon38.com/Jillian to receive 15% off your first purchase. Go. Go now. All right, Manis.
Uh-huh.
I got one for you. Speaking of how freaking miserable we've been lately. We may not be the only ones, because Nicole pulled an article for me to discuss.
Okay.
Called 7 Ways to Make Monday Feel as Good as Friday.
Really?
I'm just trying to tell me something. So, well, here's the list. And it actually kind of seems like there's some good advice here, right? So, the first one, oh, forgive me, it was men's health. I don't know if I mentioned that. I wonder what Nicole's doing on men's health, anyone, but...
They right. take pictures for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Plan something fun.
For Monday?
Yeah.
There's no time for fun on Monday.
Well, Janice, you're ruining the plan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, plan something fun on Monday. Okay.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Maybe it's something small. Like, admittedly, I'm trying to think. I was annoyed or whatever yesterday, and I was like, oh, but... You know, I promised the kids we were going to go to Mr. Chow for dinner. And it was like all day long. I was like, all right, but we're going to Mr. Chow tonight. So I was,
yeah, no, that makes sense.
I was kind of happy about it. Or, you know, I was getting Heidi and I were like, let's get a massage at our favorite little Thai massage place the other day. And so even though on my day I wanted to kill myself throughout the course of that day, I was like, oh, I'm getting that.
Is that the one where they spank you?
Well, no. Remember the one with the camera and the porno? I talked about that, right?
You talked about the place where you went to, and you and Heidi, they took off your towels and spanked your asses.
You never talked about the hidden camera.
You told me about the hidden camera. I don't know if you ever told
me. What do you mean a hidden camera?
Get out of here. Oh, some clicking when those two got undressed.
Mm-hmm. No, Jillian, yeah. No.
I spent days looking for my bare ass on the internet. Couldn't find it. But, yeah.
Where was it? Like in a flower or something?
Here's what happened. So here's what happened. So... Heidi and I were going to this Thai massage place, and Heidi goes, so one time they came to the house, right? You could have them come to the house. And, you know, we have a pig and 4 dogs and all this shenanigans, right? And I heard click, an iPhone camera. And I was like, what the F, right? And I was like, maybe she's taking a picture of the pig or something like that. And I was like, all right, so I'll let it go. So then, but they're always like up in your business, like really, you know, pushing your underwear up the crack. They're always like,
you wear underwear?
I do, dude. I'm not gonna.
Oh my god,
in a
you are faint. Are you kidding? I am buck naked. You wear your underpants?
Yes, I wear my.
You are a prude.
You are a whore.
No.
Oh my god! Yes, I wear my freaking underpants.
Do you know how many other people like get up on those tables? Wear your underpants.
Yeah,
you're gonna get warts.
Get crabs.
Herpes.
Oh, stop
you're
it!
You're not going to if you wear your underpants.
Look, mm-mm. If I'm paying for a massage, I want them to get up in my business.
You want a happy ending?
Possibly.
Love
they
you long time.
They never offer that to women.
Okay, wait a minute.
Well,
okay, so you know. They're up in your business. You got your underpants
which
on.
Is a little, I'm like, really, I'm wearing underpants for a reason. Not so you make a dental floss for my butt cheeks, right? And Heidi and I were like, Heidi's like, did they rub your boobs? And I was like, they rubbed your boobs? She's like, they rubbed my boobs.
I'm okay, like, now that.
I mean, right. I was like, this is horrible. Yeah.
Meanwhile, click.
Yeah.
Click, click.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Hold on. Jake, call Heidi. Let's see if she'll answer.
Hello?
Babe.
Oh, my God. Yeah?
Baby, can you tell Janice how the Thai women massage your boobs?
Massage my boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, like, circles around me.
They did.
Heidi, no.
They totally did, and I was like, okay, I guess this is how it's supposed to go, and I just let her do it.
What do you mean they did? They put their hand. Wait a minute. I for some reason, I'm kind of titillated at the same time as well as being mortified. So they put their hands over your, like, areolas and did circles.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a scrub? I think it was a scrub, not a massage.
No, not that. At Malibu, you know what?
Oh, that place.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant in Vietnam.
No, not in Vietnam. Oh, it happened again in Vietnam.
So this happens a lot to Heidi.
This happens to Heidi all the time. Yeah, the Thai spot.
At that place, they don't do that. They don't go all the way down. They go, like, really close, maybe brush a finger sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, honey,
on the Nepal.
What? Yes.
Okay, let's go.
I know you're trying to parent our children, but I am doing a segment. Can you?
We're leaving a restaurant right now.
And honey, then can you tell Janice about what you revealed to me in the car after your one session?
The photo that was taken?
Yeah. We get out. Yeah. We go to dinner, and Heidi goes, something
so
happened.
Much.
Something bad. I go, what happened? Tell her.
Hold on. What did you say?
The photo. They took a photo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard a click, like a photo click of an iPhone, and I was like, that's weird. And sometimes, like, they'll take the sheet off, and then I'll just be laying there with nothing but underwear on. I'm like, that's kind of weird. There are a lot of weird things that happen there, but it's so good and so cheap, I guess, and I'm like, oh, well, who cares?
She still wants to go! They're running
and
a porn ring!
I looked them up to see if I could find anything, and Giancarlo said, oh, you'll never find it. And I said, okay, then who's going to find it?
I did. We searched the internet for our naked pictures for weeks, couldn't find it. That's like a hidden cam, I think,
okay,
or something.
Okay,
but
wait a minute. What? There's a hole in the wall, too. There is a little hole, but I'm not tall enough to see in it.
No, it's true.
Is it big enough for a wiener, you mean? Like, or a pee hole?
No, a peephole.
Oh, peephole. Sorry, I said peephole.
Yeah, peephole, yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. So how do we get into this? So, what I don't understand is, Heidi, did you say, excuse me, did I just hear a camera?
I did. I then called and said.
No, I said something to her after, because I was like, maybe, you know how some people have it set so when they turn their phone on and off, it makes, like, that click sound, but I was like, no, it was definitely a photo sound. And I was like, and she said something about, like, next time I'm going to take your, she claimed it was, like, next time she was going to take my picture because it was so beautiful or something. But I was like, no.
Still...
No, that's weird.
No, that's weird.
This is my real life, Janice. What I love is what Heidi said. She goes, it's good and it's cheap.
Yeah, she still wants to go.
We've had fights. I mean, she still wants to go. I'm like, we're not going.
No, we took like a brief hiatus and then we went back.
Well, yeah, that would wig me out. Like, it would never happen to me, but it would wig me out.
We didn't really go back. Heidi was like, I'm going back. And I was like, I cannot allow you to go back if I don't go with you because I terrorize them.
What?
And I was like, if I see a camera, I will kill somebody. But yeah, 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 Janice. All right, thanks, honey.
Okay, love you.
Love you, bye. See what I mean? How did we get into this?
You were
Mondays.
Mondays,
right?
Well, Mondays. It's always a long road back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Monday, do something fun.
Fun. Yeah,
picture.
Be a part of a secret peephole porno ring. They found one of those, by the way. Listen to this. So when I had, did we ever talk about that neighbor that was trespassing on my property?
You had, no, the last time we talked about your neighbors was when they wanted you to pay a lot of money for...
Oh, you had, didn't you have squatters on your land?
Yes.
Yes. The squatterly.
Squatters.
So... So when the squatters were around, the billionaire squatters, mind you, I called out the Malibu Sheriff's Department, right? And there was one of the officers came out, and the nice guy, his name is Deputy Carey, and you know, we just ended up striking up a conversation, and he emails me the other day, and he's like, "Hey Jill, I hope you're well." He's like, "Wife's pregnant with the third kid," and I was like, "Oh, that's awesome." And he's like, "By the way, we found a peephole in the vintage market in the Malibu bathroom."
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. Uh-uh. You know, that's where we get there in PC Greens, where we get our groceries. And he's like, so just don't be really careful when you use public restrooms. And he sent me all the pictures of the bathroom. And he was like, I just want you to know, because I'm sure you shop there. You live, you know, close. And I sent it to Heidi. And she was like, oh, my God, I used that bathroom on.
Why is it always Heidi?
I don't know why. And you know me, I will hold it. But I think the key, and he said it, it's all the time, like very often in locker rooms, he said, and public oneers.
What's a public oneer?
Like not stalls.
Oh, I gotcha.
A unisex bathroom?
Like a single, yeah, like, you know, a Starbucks oneer. Not that Starbucks, I'm assuming. Not that Starbucks is.
No, I know what you mean.
You know, you go into a Starbucks and it's like a oneer, not a group of stalls.
Yeah.
Be really careful.
So who, but the thing is, and this is not to point fingers at any business, but who has access to do that, though,
employees.
But the business?
Employees. Yeah, the employees, the business. It is freezing in here like a freaking Arctic.
I turned it up to 75 now.
No, cold.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, go ahead.
More?
Go ahead with a woman with hot flashes. Go ahead. Crank it up, Jake.
Just, I am freezing.
You know, I am so cold. I want
to
die.
To you.
You're even wearing a hat.
I'm freezing.
Both of you, stick your hands in my pants and see how hot it is.
Oh, I can send you to a massage place and we'll do that for you. Oh, my God.
Okay, so what do we do on Tuesday? This is just Monday.
Oh, this is just Mondays. Yeah, you're screwed the rest of the week. Book a date night.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something to look. Book a date night.
Okay.
Have sex. It says research shows that most people wait until the weekend for a friendly romp.
But do it on the Monday.
But don't do that.
Do it on Monday.
It lowers anxiety and stress hormones.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
it says don't
again,
do
it. Go to the massage place.
Plan and boom.
Yeah.
It's all about the massage.
It's all about massage.
Break a sweat. Yeah, exercise.
That makes sense.
Right? Mm-hmm. Explore other gigs. I didn't read this far. Mondays are tough on the average guy, but if you hate your job, you'll absolutely dread them. If that sounds like you, take Hokey Meyer's advice. At the start of the week, write down the three things you'll complete for your job search.
Change your gig.
Change
your gig. So make an attempt to.
I thought he might go to different shows around town.
No, not that kind of gig. You're thinking of a music gig.
Oh.
No, that's the gig. That's a showbiz talk. I don't know if you know anything about showbiz. It's like a showbiz talk for a job. It's your gig. You know, you stick with me, Jill, and I'm going to take you places you've never been, okay? Now, what's that next on the list?
Okay, fake it. This one doesn't work either. I love that we just go on here, but some of these are good ideas. I don't like this one. If all else fails, fake it until you make it. The self-perception theory, like pretend you're happy, that never works for me.
But you know what?
I
had a woman say to me, a very wise woman, she said, if you're feeling crappy, dress... how was it again? It was really good. And I remembered it really well.
Snappy.
No.
Snappy.
Dress the way you... Dress better than how you feel. Hmm. So you make it... Does that make any sense? You know, I'm just going to stand over here.
Well, it's not look what you're wearing today. You certainly didn't take that freaking advice.
I'm just going
to... Janice is wearing an old muscle tee with a ring of daisies on it that form a heart. That, of course, which drives me effing crazy. Two separate shades of gray. So the shirt is like this weird blackish, brownish gray. Then the pants are a heathered charcoal gray. And with socks and her Timberlands.
The shirt was not the best of choice. But when I left Canada, you know, it's cold.
Your prime minister is hot. Now that we're considering a move to...
Look at all you. Look at all you Americans
Northern
going
territories.
After the prime minister.
That guy's a good looking dude.
Have you
Is
seen
he single?
Have you seen Mrs.?
Oh, he's got a wife.
Sophie Gregoire Trudeau. Ooh, she's hot too.
Darn, I thought Chloe had a shot for a second.
I know.
Yeah. Oh. No, people are very intrigued with our prime minister.
Because he's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You guys hired, is he five? How old is that guy?
40s, in his 40s. His father was a prime minister years and years ago. So it's nepotism is best.
Would you like the guy?
Yeah, we're happy. We're happy because the guy that was in before
was a douche.
He was a hated man. Hated internationally, too. Made a lot of dumb
We're
moves.
Well on the way there.
Yeah, so we've heard. We've been talking about that quite a bit, about the Americans wanting to come
Yeah, well
up.
On the way.
Yeah.
anyway, I like your guy. He's handsome. Yeah. All right. Well, 7 ways to make Monday feel like
wow.
Friday.
Wow. All right, then.
Right, guys, we're talking about plated right now. You know it's been on your mind all day because last night's dinner was, in a word, delicious. And you cannot wait to do it again in the kitchen tonight with plated Plated is for busy people who love cooking fresh, exciting new dishes, but don't have the time to drive all over town searching for chef quality ingredients. And with Plated, you don't have to. Here's how it works. Go to plated.com/Jillian and choose from amazing chef design recipes each week. You'll find easy to prepare selections that you can make in under 30 minutes. Then the culinary pros at Plated are going to lovingly fill a refrigerated box with all the perfect pre-portioned ingredients for your dinner, so nothing is wasted. Everything is delivered straight to your door, whether it's meat, poultry, veggies, spices, anything and everything you need on the day you need it, and no worries if you're not home. Your Plated box will keep everything fresh until midnight on the day it arrives. And if you go to plated.com/Jillian now, you can get a free dinner for two. Plated.com/Jillian. That's plated.com/Jillian. So, all right, what's the number one question we would always get on tour, Manis?
Motivation. How do I motivate myself? What am I doing wrong that I can't stay motivated or get motivated?
Manus. Mm-hmm. And we first differentiate between inspiration and motivation, right? So inspiration is something outside of yourself. The book you read, the story you saw, the show you watched that you identified with an external person and went, what a motivating story. I relate to that person. I'm moved, I'm motivated, I can do it. But it's outside of you. Motivation, not inspiration, has to come from inside of you. And so while inspiration is a great catalyst and a kickstarter, it's not long-lasting, right? Long-lasting is motivation, which has to come from inside of you. And so we've often talked about your why, finding your deeper reasons, putting it all in perspective, and sure, in the moment, pizza's better than chicken, but is skinny jeans and sex with the lights on and walking your daughter down the aisle, is that stuff better than pizza, right? And how do you, you know, write it all down, identify it, what's important to you, make your list, emotionally connect. But here are some, like, literal tips, right, that are a little more behavioral that I thought were good. And some of these came from the Mayo Clinic, and I liked it. Sometimes I think I'm, like, I'm digging too deep. And it talks about setting goals. And we have talked about this, whether it's like, I just want to do a 5K, right?
Like a realistic goal. Yeah.
Or like, I like this because it could be, oh, my goal is to lose 2 pounds this week. Or, by the way, have something. This is one that I think is important. Have something you got to do. So, for example, the other day I just got roped into possibly, if my schedule allows, doing that Empire State Building climb, which, oh, my God, Janice, I hate endurance sports. I'd rather be dead. But I think it involved like charity or something. One of my employees brought it to my attention and Giancarlo was like, I can't commit Jill to this a year in advance. And, you know, she hates endurance sports. And I was like, honestly, this sounds like my hell on earth, but if it's for charity, I'll train for it.
Oh my and, like, God. If I, like stairs to the top.
To the top.
Oh my God.
I hate, you know me, I hate endurance. Like anything that goes on forever. Oh, no, hell on earth. And but
in if, everything.
But if yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
But if I have to do it, I'll train for it. So maybe it's a 5K for charity. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a little sprint try, you know, which is the short distance. Maybe it's, who knows, this seems extreme or whatever, but get your kind of commit. And if it's for charity or with friends, you're kind of it's like the roller coaster you already locked yourself in on as it's going up the mountain. You're like, "Oh shit." You know, it's like, well, I'm on this. Oh, damn it. You know what I mean?
I do. And what, but
lock
what,
yourself
what's,
in.
But what's kind of interesting is you can use that inspiration to get that motivation. Like it's sometimes it's a run for someone who has passed.
Right.
And
make
you
it
want
important.
To, yeah. Make it important. If it's to raise for a loved one or someone who's really a cool person who did something great.
Yeah.
So you can mix
make
the
it
two.
Important so you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Make it fun. This I like. You know, we talk about this a lot because people are always like, oh, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? I'm like, well, what should you do? Free weights, body weight, HIIT training. That's what you should do. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, you know, if the thought of like back squats and jump rope and sprints and push-ups make you want to kill yourself, then, you know, and you're like, I really like my bar class and I like the leg warmers. Then you really like your bar. I mean, then that's what you're going to do. I really like my Shavasana. I really like my spin class. I mean, what's most important is that you're not miserable, dude. Because if you are miserable, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. And you hit that home every night on the show, is start with something you love. At least it gets you out in the room.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. No, I truly believe that.
I mean, and then make it a part of your routine, which I think is hard. I think this is really hard for people because it's like, you know, it always goes to the back burner because you look at your day and again, you know, we've talked about this before. You got 48 hours of stuff to do and 24 hours to do it. And you're like, all right, kids, bedtime, homework, food, dinner, catch up, bring home work from the office. That's got deadlines. Got to do that. Feed the dogs, do the laundry, you know, work during the day. And you just, it's like finding that time is hard. And this is where, I don't know if you can make it a part of your daily routine, but I've often said, schedule 4 half hours, and here's some good strategies if you have kids on how to do it. You know, work out at home.
Yep.
It saves an hour-long trek to and from and locker and parking and all that crap. You know, honestly, get sign up for Fit Fusion. Honestly, it's genius. It's $4.99. It's on Apple TV, Roku, any device, on demand, any place, anywhere, anytime. 300 different workouts, top trainers, myself included. There's no excuse. Do it at home. Do it on the go. Do it in your hotel room. You know, you don't need to leave the gym. Okay, get a babysitter. Trade off with your significant other. Work out with the kids, even if it's swimming, skiing, snowing.
it works.
Whatever. Snow. Go snow.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Bike riding, snorkeling. Like, if you piece it together that way, where like once a week you go to the gym, once a week your significant other goes, once a week a family member watches on Saturday and you get to take that yoga class, once or twice a week you're doing a DVD at home, or once or twice you're getting out with the kids, 4 half hours, find the 4 half hours. I don't know about every day. I can't do every day, but I can find those 4 half hours. Write it down. A lot of times people say, you know, if you write your goals down, it's easier to kind of visualize and solidify, mm-hmm. and you feel like you got a direction.
Yep,
right?
Absolutely.
This is, we've talked about this all the time. Join forces with friends, neighbors, make it social. This, I honestly believe this is the key to CrossFit. I really do. I think the community of CrossFit is everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
When you see a bunch of, what I love is, and it's usually a group of women, and you know, they worked all day, and they've either just not even gone home yet, and they've chucked on just some sweatpants and some running shoes, and they're happy. They're happier than, it's something, and they're talking and walking and just moving it. And if that's, it is social, and they're so happy.
Make it social and make it accountable.
Yeah,
and
accountable. Absolutely.
Yeah,
if you show up, I'll show up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's the other. I can't tell you how many times friends are like, "Oh, let's do the Santa Monica stairs." I'm like, "Ugh." You know, and I say yes in the moment, but I'm like, "Ugh." You know, and it's like, and then I show up because I said I'd be there.
Yeah.
Okay. Reward yourself. And I don't mean with food, but we talked about correlating rewards. So if I lose 2 pounds this week, I'm going to get a manicure pedicure. If I go to the gym today, I'm going to carve out time for me. When the kids go to bed, take a bubble bath and just shut out the world. You know, if I lose 4 pounds this month, I'm going to spend $10 on a new playlist on iTunes. Reward yourself, you know? Give yourself something, because people reward themselves, but they do it with food.
Yeah.
I ain't allow myself to eat this or eat that or go, you know, I deserve it. Find ways of incentivizing yourself that aren't destructive.
You know what I do?
Uh-oh.
This is how I reward myself.
Because oh, dear.
The most...
A fifth of Jack and a sprinkler.
No. No, that was 12 years ago now.
A massage at the Malibu Thai place.
No, if my pants feel good, so what I do is I make sure I do it extra circles around people. When I'm feeling good in my pants, I work the room. I walk around. I make sure people see that my ass looks good in my jeans today. when it doesn't look good, that's my reward. Because usually I'm very, you know, like I'm very, very shy.
Yeah.
And
I just hide that.
But I walk around. I work myself.
You strut it.
I strut it. I work it. And I kind of pause. I pause in areas. So it's like, look at me. There's just something about it. And you know what?
Once again?
Yeah. Kind of work it. You walk over here. You kind of bend over a little bit.
Nicole's getting this on film for all of you.
You just work it. Work the ass. The moves. And when you're going to get a little glass of water, you know, you just kind of, hey, Sally, how are you today? And you know what? That's my reward, because it's so not like me, right? Right?
You act like a whore.
Whatever it takes.
Cat on a hot tin menace.
I'm just saying, there's something about feeling good in your clothes. That's a reward.
I agree. No, that was all.
Wow.
Yeah, that was enough.
Glad I contributed to that.
Thank you.
Took it right over the edge.
Ooh.
Okay.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.